Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. A great time of year. Just a little, as we felt that little breeze as we was coming in this evening. I was telling Miss Elaine, I'm ready for the seasons to, ready to shift in the other direction. But I know this is Georgia. It's going to change every day or every hour. So let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Good to see y'all. For those of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. It's your first time, just to tune in with us, and we'd just like to worship the Lord, hear His Word preached, and be really excited for what the Lord has in store for us each and every service. Do we have any spoken prayer requests tonight on the right side? Any on the left side, any spoken prayer requests? Yes, Sister Linda. Absolutely. Absolutely, from Miss Jane. Yes. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone in the congregation. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, just show by the raising of your hand. You know, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house tonight, and we just want to worship you and praise you, dear Lord. We just lift you up with all the honors we can give you. Dear Lord, as we come together, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive your message tonight, dear Lord, ready to receive your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we just want to honor you in everything that we do. Please accept every instrument played, every song sung, Lord, just to worship and praise you in your name. Lord, now as we gather together, dear Lord, we've called on the spoken prayer requests, those spoken and unspoken. Dear Lord, we're placing them in your mighty hands. Lord, we know that you can touch those that need physical touch, dear Lord, those that need healing, dear Lord, those that are waiting on answers of tests and procedures. Lord, we're placing them into your hands, dear Lord, and we lift those up that aren't able to be with us tonight. Lord, whether they're in nursing homes, assisted living, in their travels, at work, or whatever the situation is, dear Lord, we're just placing them into your mighty hands and let them feel your holy presence. And, dear Lord, for those that we, as we come together now, that we know, Lord, in our hearts that we'd like to pray for, dear Lord, for their salvation, for their walk. Lord, we'd ask you to mend families, dear Lord, strengthen us as we go about our life, dear Lord. Lord, may they just find that desire to worship you and to seek you out, dear Lord. May they find, dear Lord, your word and let it come to them. Lord, they find an altar of repentance, dear Lord, and be strengthened by you. Those that are struggling right now with the unknownness, dear Lord, let them know that you are the answer and the way and the truth. Lord, we give you all the honor, dear Lord, and we ask you to bless our pastor. Strengthen him as he goes about your work, him and his family, dear Lord. Again, keep us safe, dear Lord, as we go about this service, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. Good to have everybody here tonight. While you're standing, turn to page 276. We're going to sing one that we normally sing in the mornings, Prayer Bells in Heaven. Praise God. While we are living in this world of care, many the burdens that we have to bear, but there's a prayer bell at the Lord's right hand. Give it a ring and he will understand. Prayer bells in heaven, oh how sweetly they ring, bearing a message on to Jesus the King. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, bring on and on, for God will answer your prayer. Bring Hebrew children to the flames were thrown, because a mortal king they would not own. Jesus delivered in the kingdom's song. Their bells in heaven be a man. Yeah. may be seated. Turn around and just give everybody a wave and just let them know how much the Lord loves them this evening. We're glad to have y'all with us. Praise God. Just really excited about the service tonight. We're going to have announcements up here this evening. Let's just go ahead and take up our evening offering. We'll get it all set up. I'll go ahead. And Mr. Trey. Praise the Lord. Love to have our youth. Praise the Lord. Brother Luke, would you ask the Lord to pray with an offering?
Walking free. No more darkness still has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, the shades fell at my feet. And now I'm walking, walking, walking free.
I'm gonna sing thanks. I'm so thankful for the Lord, for all his mercy and grace, and each day it's new. Each day we get new mercy and grace. I'm just so thankful, and I love him.
Empty grave is there to prove. to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still.
Assurance God is alive and that Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Everyone that's here, anybody watching online, if it's in your heart right now, I think we all just need, if you would, just stand if you can. Let's all just sing that as a praise, just as a worship song here for a moment. And just...
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because.
Life is worth living just because he lived. I've often said I really didn't know how to live or love until Jesus Christ came. And how many is thankful for what the Lord has done?
Amen.
Praise God. Do you have a testimony? Just word of praise the Lord. Okay, that's fine. You can stand and praise the Lord. Good to have Pastor Jason and Sister First Lady Pam here with us tonight. Brother Jason, stand, give us a word of testimony. Love you, brother. Love you both. Can you say ditto to that? Amen. There's a lot of places we could be tonight. There's a lot of places that the people were here this morning are tonight. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad God's here. Amen. One thing I know, God is real. There are some things I may not know. There's one thing I truly know. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. And He made me whole. His love for me, well, it's like pure gold. My God is real, oh, I can feel Him in my soul. God sent His Son for me when I was lost as I could be. Now He's my rock, He's my sword and my shield, and that is why, thank God, I know that He is real. God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, well, it's like pure gold. Well, I cannot tell just how I felt when Jesus washed all my sins. He washed them away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, my God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. Sing it with me, church. My God is real. Do you believe it? He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. For me, when it's time to go, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I want to sing the chorus again, and I want us just to think and reminisce on the times that God has come on the scene for us when nothing else would work. Have you ever been told that's all that we can do? We can't do any more for you?
You ever been told, you know what, just accept it as it is? Have you ever been told, just take your son home and enjoy him for the short time that you may have him? Have you ever been told that hospice has stepped in and it's just a matter of days or week, and then God steps in? Amen? And we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real. He's real because we can feel him in our soul. There is nobody anywhere on the face of this earth that can ever tell me any different, that God is not real, that God is just an imagination. Amen. I can feel him. I can see him when I walk out. Now, maybe not the facial structure of God, but I see him in the wind. I see him in the mountains. I see him in everything. And I know without a doubt that God is real. Sing it with me. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed, made me whole. His love for me is my pure gold. My God is real. For I can feel him. My soul, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Do you feel the Lord in your soul? I've been praising the Lord today, even singing that song, and just in my heart, in my mind, and to God, and know that he is real. Amen. So thankful, and that in all of his greatness and all of his majesty, he's still concerned about us. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Still understands what you're going through. Still sees your tears. Still knows your sorrows and your pains. Amen. And he is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We're so glad that you're here tonight, and I promise not to be very long-winded. You know, I need to quit saying that, because when I say that, I'm a little longer-winded than I intend to be. But I need to say, I'm just going to try to surmise it in a way that maybe it won't be too long-winded. But if you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Exodus, the third chapter. Love the story of Moses. I love the beginnings of Moses and how that God interceded in his life and had a plan for him even when Moses didn't realize it, even when Moses' mother didn't realize it. And I know Pharaoh probably didn't realize what God was doing. God was raising up a vessel that he could, in fact, work through. I want to just say this before I read the scripture. Many times we think God is not aware of what we're going through, or if he is aware, he's not willing to do anything about it. We've often said that our schedule is not God's schedule. Our time is certainly not his time, but his time is right. So that is the case tonight as we endeavor to read the story of Moses. Thank you for standing. In the third chapter, I do want to read verses number 7 and verse number 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your abundant love. Thank you for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, you just open up that window of heaven tonight. Pour out an anointing and a blessing, God, upon this congregation. Help us to be in one mind and one accord, God, submissive and obedient, Lord, and receptive to your word and to your will. Father, I pray, if there's any needs here tonight, God, we know, Lord, that you can supply the needs. God, if there's anybody who stands in need of healing tonight, we know that you're the great healer. God, and we know that salvation, too, is readily available for those who will come to an altar of repentance. Father, I humbly ask now that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, just speak to us tonight that you would have us to hear We'll be careful to praise you, giving you all the honor and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. If, in fact, I had a message title, it would simply be God Promises Deliverance. Amen. God Promises Deliverance. Today, as just meditating, really, on the goodness of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of God, for all of His mercies, and for the relationship that we are able to have with the Lord. He knows exactly what we need. He can comfort us. He can lift us up. He can encourage us. But sometimes He's just a God that is available. He's just there with us, and we can feel His precious Holy Spirit. And as God was kind of ministering to me, and you know, when God ministers, sometimes He's not always preaching. Sometimes He is. A lot of times He's correcting and directing. But sometimes He's just a God of comfort. And I thank God that He is a God of comfort. And that was the case today as I was just sitting there meditating on the Word of God. And in my mind, I saw this story playing out. And I'm not going to give you the entire story because every one of you are familiar with the story. From even Moses' birth all the way to going down to Egypt and plagues that were on the children of Israel, or on the Egyptians to release the children of Israel. But there's one thing that I do want to touch on, and that is Moses and where God spoke to him and what God promised him. When Moses was on the backside of the desert, and he was doing the menial job of tending to his father-in-law's sheep, probably during this time, Moses had knew exactly where the good grazing lands were, and he knew how to get around and navigate, and that in itself, I think, was a type and shadow of what God was going to do with him later as the wilderness journey began, because Moses was quite familiar with the desert and the mountains and the things where the streams and where the pools were, so it was something that was very beneficiary, amen, to him to know the region. But here he was leading the sheep out, and for some reason I'm thinking that Moses' mind maybe not is exactly on the sheep. And maybe it's not exactly on the location to where he is. I don't know if you've ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden, you can't even recall the last 10 or 15 miles. Has that ever happened to anybody? If it is, maybe I'm the only one. But sometimes you're caught up in your thoughts. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's just situations. Maybe you're on your way to work, and you know what a lot of you got to do when you get there, and you're just praying the Lord will help you. But there's often the case that you're going through the routines, but your mind is not really on it. And in my mind, I'm thinking Moses is contemplating, and he's praying. He's wondering how that he came from a palace to the back end of a desert. And I know that sometimes we don't understand God's ways and we don't understand where He's taken us from and maybe where He's placed us at a particular time in our life. But we haven't seen the finished product yet. I mean, knows God's still working on us. Amen. Each and every day He's still working on me, and I thank God for that. So in my mind, Moses is just kind of there going through the motions, and he looks over and he sees something that he's never seen before. He sees a bush or a tree that's on fire and it's not being consumed. And this, you know, rightfully so, he wants to check it out and go see what's going on. So he goes over and he turns aside, and something that's very interesting to know, that God is not speaking unto him until he turns aside. If he stayed in the desert, I'm not sure that he would have heard the voice of God. But because the Bible said he turned to see, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Not so much that it was on fire, but why is it not burned up? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. And then he began to speak to him. And he began to tell him, I have seen the affliction, I have heard their cry. And someone said that this was the very first time in the Bible that God had referred to the children of Israel as my people. And I'm not going to debate that. I'm just passing along what someone said, that that's the first time that he referred. Now, after that, he referred continuously to the children of Israel as my people. But God knew what they were going through. Some 400 years they were in Egyptian bondage. Some of us won't give God 40 minutes, let alone 400 years. We want it done right now. We want it done in our time. But over this period of time, the cries went up, and God heard their cries. He saw their sorrows. He said, I know their sorrows. And then he says, I am come down to deliver them. And I begin to think and pray on that today, and I begin to think about the power of God and how that God reveals himself to us. Now, whether this was a type and shadow of the power of God that would be with the children of Israel, maybe it was. It was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke by day. But the main thing that I want us to know is that God saw the need and saw it necessary that he came down himself to deliver the children of Israel. And he came down to a desert place. Not a place of an oasis, not a place of blessing, not a place in the middle of a church service, but he came down in a dry, barren land. How many of you have ever walked through a dry, barren land spiritually? When we seem like we can't get our prayers no higher than the roof, we seem like God's not listening, God's not caring, and we're walking through this trial or this trouble or this situation, and we're wondering, God, where are you? And God came down in the midst of that desert, on that hill, on the mountain of God. It was later known Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. And God began to speak to him from a bush that would not burn up. God can speak from the most unlikely places. And God spoke to me this afternoon. I don't usually recite or say that, but this was so plain and so vivid that God began to speak to me in my spirit. I had turned the TV off. I was sitting in the recliner. I had read my Bible, and I was just meditating and just seeking God's will, not in any particular subject matter, just enjoying the blessings of God. And in my mind, I saw, I'm not going to say in my spirit because it necessarily wasn't in my spirit, but in my mind, in my imagination, and I wasn't dreaming, I wasn't asleep, I could see that bush burning, but not burned up. And if God could do that for Moses, there is no limit that God could not do that this particular night in Villarica, Georgia. Now, God didn't let me know who would be here, who would not be here. I didn't even seek that. I could just see in my mind this bush burning and not being consumed. The fire of God. The fire of God roaring, and I can almost feel that Moses could feel the very heat from that. And it was such a holy place that God said, take your shoes off, because the place where you stand is holy ground. And I believe the holy ground is wherever God is, wherever we can meet God. It can be in your living room. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? It can certainly be in the altar here. But wherever we meet God and wherever God begins to share his blessing and his spirit upon us, we can call that and declare that as a holy ground. And in my mind, I was seeing this burning bush. And I was asking, Lord, you know, what is it you want me to know? What is it you want me to see? God, you want me to know that you're about to do something mighty. You want me to know that you're just getting ready to deliver. You want me to know, God, that you're just fixing to send revival fire. It is amazing. We always want to know what God's plans are. And sometimes God doesn't really give us his plans. He just tells us to act. So tonight I'm acting on faith, believing that God is about to do something. I'm not here to tell you I know what it is. Because if I told you that, I would be like, I have no idea. But I do believe with all of my heart that God has spiritually come down to deliver somebody. The word deliverance kept going over and over and over in my mind and in my spirit. And maybe it was me. Maybe he's about to deliver me. I don't know. You know, sometimes we can get delivered and we don't even know or realize that we need to be delivered. But God began to speak to me, and God can speak from the most unlikely places. But when he does speak, deliverance will come. He promised deliverance. And God spoke to me, said, in my mind, I see someone. In my mind, I see some situation. In my mind, I see some problem or some issue that God has personally come down in his spirit to deliver. Then I begin to think about the power of God. not only his power, but his ability to love us so much that he would become personally involved in the situation that we may be walking through, or that we may be battling, or the issue, or the problem. But I'm here tonight to tell you that God has promised deliverance. God has promised. God has spoke. I believe with all of my heart that tonight is the night that someone is going to be delivered. Someone is going to feel the mighty presence of God. Someone is going to walk away from this church in a different manner, in a different personality, and in a different frame of mind than when they came in. You know, I often believe that God chooses certain times. Maybe if the church was completely full tonight, maybe we would not be in tune to that burning, and I don't want to call it a burning bush, because to me, God is burning and his spirit is on fire, but it's because he's about to explode and he's about to do something in somebody's life. And I believe that person is here tonight. I don't know who it is and I don't know what it is, but I can't get away from the very fact that God has promised that he will deliver. Not next week, not next month, but tonight is the night for your deliverance, because the fire is burning. And maybe it's for the church. I don't know. Maybe it's for the body of the church. I'm not here to question God. I'm here to just to convey to you what God has placed in my spirit. And that's the reason the song was on my heart. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Amen. I'm so glad that I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm so glad that he loves us enough to let us know that when he's heard those cries, and that's what I want to instill to you tonight. He has heard seen the affliction, he has heard their cry, and he says, I know their sorrows. And then he says, I am come down. I'm going to send them to a land that flows with milk and honey. The milk and honey term intrigued me, and I began to try to research everything that I could about milk and honey. And it's used a number of times in the Bible according to the Canaan land, the promised land that God said, I'm going to give to my children, the children of Israel. And many scholars and many theologians had their different ideas and different views, but you know, when I was little, I would when my granddaddy or anybody talked about that land of milk and honey and the songs of milk and honey, and I'm thinking something almost like cereal. I'm thinking, boy, the rivers are just flowing milk, and there's just plenty of harvest everywhere. But, you know, I want you to understand something tonight. Because just as soon as God promised the land that flows with milk and honey, and most of what I looked in research, they came to the notion that the milk was because of the great and beautiful and lush pastures that the herds could dwell on or eat from, therefore producing milk, because it'd be hard for them to produce milk in a desert and dry land. But the land of Canaan was very lush. It was very green. It was very fertile. There was rivers. There was ponds. There was trees everywhere. Just a beautiful place for dwelling and an excellent place to raise cattle or sheep or whatever the case may be. And the other thing, the honey, basically was that the vegetation of the land of Canaan was so rich, the fertile land was so plentiful, that anything and almost everything would grow, and it would cause the bees and all to come in and be able to pollinate. And I just kind of got a little lesson on horticulturalism, you know, just looking up what God was doing. But you know what? God already knows everything. He knows every plant, amen, that ever rises up in the morning. God knows everything. And he said, I'm going to send you to this land that flows with milk and honey. But he didn't tell them they're going to have to go through the desert to get there. Some of us want to jump through the wilderness. Some of us want to go through the trying times of prayer and fasting and believing God just to get to the land of milk and honey. Just give me the blessings, God. Just rain it out on me. And there's nothing wrong with that, because God can rain blessings. But no sooner than he told them that I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the hand of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. You got to understand, these people were just given just a little morsel a day and were made to work from sun up to sundown. They had no future in where they were and what they were doing. They would have been happy to be anywhere else. But to take them out of that situation, get spiritual with me now, to take them out of bondage, being bound by a taskmaster, whether we will admit it or not, when we were in sin, we were under bondage to a taskmaster. That taskmaster was the adversary and our flesh. He was controlling our flesh to give the desires of the flesh. But when Jesus came into our life, somebody say, praise the Lord, and he broke those chains, and he brought us out of bondage, and he put us in a land, a spiritual land, flowing with milk and honey. But many of us had to go through the desert to get there. And he says, I am come down. And I'm going to take you from a land unto a good land and a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey unto a place of seven other nations. Seven obstacles, if you will. Maybe even seven enemies. But God, you're going to place me in a land flowing with milk and honey and bless me in the midst of seven enemies? In the midst of seven obstacles, in the midst of seven other nations. And then we begin to question, God, how are you going to do this? But God's letting them know that when I make a promise, you will be delivered. Your deliverance is going to come before your enemy even could get to you. Your deliverance is already here. God has spoken that deliverance. So this land of milk and honey, this land of plenty is going to be yours, and I am giving it to you, I am promising it to you from a burning bush in the midst of a dry and barren land where Moses had just spent a time tending the sheep in a desert land. I'm not sure how God's going to do it. But I believe with all of my heart, he is going to deliver someone, somebody, maybe more than one tonight. Tonight is the night that God is speaking to somebody. And I want you to see that burning bush. I want you to see that burning, igniting power, that the warmth, the heat that is coming from God. I believe God's wanting to do a work even mightier than it's just in this church. I believe God's wanting to do a work worldwide. Because we know the affliction. Amen? Probably not a one of us today that would honestly admit that things are better than they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And God is aware of it. God knows. He said, I heard the cries. I saw the affliction. I'm aware of the sorrow. But I'm going to deliver you. Church, I'm going to deliver you. Young person, person who's battling sickness, I'm going to deliver you. Somebody, somewhere under the sound of my voice tonight, God has heard you. God has seen your situation. God has even seen your tears. And he's aware of that. He, for some reason, brought the burning bush to my mind to tell you tonight that God's going to deliver you. Do you believe God will deliver you tonight? Would you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to reverence the power and the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place. You know, I know, and you know me, I don't do this much, but I do know that to really test the genuine, the moment you declare that you're going to do it, the devil jumps on you and says, you'd better not do that. Don't you do that. What if nobody comes forward? That doesn't mean deliverance is still. If nobody even comes to the altar, that doesn't mean that deliverance is going to touch somebody's life. Because what God promises, it will come to pass. And God has promised deliverance here tonight. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask Sister Penny if she'll come and play something on the piano tonight. Know that God is real, and know that God is working, and know that God is moving. And don't wait for me to tell you who it is or what it is, because I do not know. I just know that God has promised that He will deliver. Hallelujah. It's you. Hallelujah. Sometimes pastors' wives need to be delivered. Have you said anything to me about anything? Just to give you a little update, she went to the doctor several months ago, and the doctor scared her, and rightfully so. The liver is a vital function of our life and our body, and he diagnosed it with something, and then, or she went on to say that, you know, it could be a long period of time, but when somebody tells us something's wrong with the liver, and naturally fear comes into our life. But God said, I'm going to deliver you. It's I know you've been trying to take the vitamins, you've been trying to eat right, you've been trying to do those things and exercise and all that's good. But God said, I've seen your tears, I've heard your cries. He's come down personally to deliver you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare it done. God, your word and your promise is going out. Father, we anoint Sister Penny right now, God, for the healing of her liver. God, touch her right now. God, speak healing into her body. Oh, dear Jesus, right now, Lord, we call upon your name. We step out on faith, believing, trusting you, God, for a mighty miracle right now. In the name of Jesus, yes. Glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, let it be done. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh,
Thank you. It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to be like Him. Though often I fail and bring Him much shame, it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Worth wealth and riches, I don't need earth's shame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone, one who may have failed to see the way. I too once was lost, but I found my way to God. It's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you would know the reason why I love Him so. Now you can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I believe that God's truly touched me. The problem I have with my liver, that I had with my liver, is it can't be repaired. The damage can't be repaired. The doctor said I'm stage 3 liver disease. Stage 4 is cirrhosis. There's nothing that can be done about it. But, you know, I believe God touched me. And I believe the next time I have to go back to the doctor, then she does the test again, she's going to see there's nothing there now. Right. So I just, thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hard for God. Well, God's familiar with these cases. And He's batting 1,000.
Praise God.